وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. إن شاء الله the continuation of the series The Muslim Family and how to raise the Muslim family. We know that one of the attributes of the Muslim character is the akhlaq, the ethics. And there are fundamentals in these ethics, and like the repentance, the patience, the depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and never get desperate or lose hope or get depressed. Also, one of the major aspects of our behavior and our ethics is looking after our parents. Looking after our parents is not something nice or something kind or paying back to them, but it is mandatory requirement for the faith. There are three things that is not acceptable without another three. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَعَاتُ الزَّكَاةِ. Do the prayers and do the zakat, the charity or the due charity. If you do one and you don't do the other, وَلَعَيَزُ بِاللَّهِ you are compromising. And the other thing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَعَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. Obey Allah and obey His Messenger. If you say, I will take the Quran and I leave the Sunnah, you are compromising, you are not fulfilling, and you are not getting the benefit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree, and He said, Allah so decree that you believe in none but Him and to be kind to your parents. Okay. To show you the importance of this, there are, when we come down to the obligation of what it called al-wajib in Sharia, there are some issues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promoting us to do, or Allah saying, I would like you to do. But there are some issues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, no, this is it, you have to do. And this is the way it is. Like what? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَحْدٌ. Say, Allah is one. No one interfere with this. That's it. So you will see before the command the word قُلْ. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَحْدٌ. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَلَى الْمَحِيطِ قُلْ هُوَ أَجَلٌ. So that's the case closed. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, He so decreed. That means what? That is not subject of discussion. Don't come and say, I'm not kind to my parents because my parents, they were not kind to me. Or they favor some brothers or sister over me. Or they did this and they did that to me. No. Father is father, mother is mother. They did the job or they did not do the job, that's another story. So that's one aspect we have to understand. The other aspects of this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as He is saying, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. It is decree. That means whatever goes for the parents if they are Muslim, it goes for the parents even if they are not Muslim. And the only exception is what? The only exception of the rule is what? If they deliberately ask you to do something forbidden. Or by another word, you and I have no excuse for not looking after our parents. But how or what is the jurisdiction of that? And I want to also answer today, inshallah, in the khutbah, a question. Is really our parents are perfect? Or what is the issue here? Or where are we supposed to stand here? So let us see in Surah Al-Isra what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ. Like I said, Allah so decree, أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. You submit to none but to Him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. إِحْسَانًا, that means not to be kind but to do the best. Al-Ihsan is all the time the best. The Bishl, that means what? That is the upper seal that you don't know how to get over. That's it. That's the best that you can do. There is nothing else that you can do. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبْرِ. So the first rule here is what? إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبْرِ. يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبْرِ, that means what? They are under your custody. They are in your home. They are not on a shelter. They are not in senior citizen home. They are not in their somebody else obligation, especially the males. You are responsible. Female, they are not. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرِ, that means in your custody, أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا, either both or one. You cannot say, you one stay in my place and another stay in someone, my brother's place. You got to be the same. There are a lot of rules and regulations here, but the time of the khutbah will never allow it. But the point that I'm driving is you are responsible for their affairs. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ. أُفٍّ, it is what? It is the simplest sign of showing anger. But that's not what it meant it here. What it really meant it here is that means you did, when they ask you to do something, you did it, but you show resentment. Like, please give me this. Okay, I'm going to give it to them. So you said, off, you fulfill what they want. You give them what they want, but you show resentment. You show dissatisfaction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't do that. You already did what they want. The second one, وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. And وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا mean what? Never be in a state of disobedience with them. Challenge them. Denying them. Confronting them. Abusing verbally them. For the one who neglect, by the way, I am not talking today in any form or shape, because I really don't know how to talk to that person. That he has a parent, he is alive, and he is not doing his obligation to his parents. Or he is abusive to his parents. Because you can abuse your parents by not doing anything, by neglecting. But the one who is verbally or physically or emotionally abusing his parents, I have nothing to do with them. I don't want to even address the issue. For the second category, the one who is also neglecting, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all. I don't want to even have anything to do with you. I'm talking about the people that they are taking action with their parents. And here there is, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Say the best that you can to them. Okay, look at it this way. If in the whole on the planet Earth you really want somebody to love you and to know who is loving you, it will be your parents. Nobody else. You're going to tell me, brothers and sisters? It may not. Look what the Sayyidina Yusuf brothers did to him. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying what? Watch it. In your spouses and in your children, they may be enemy to you. The only one who is going to love you for loving you is your parents. And what we give in return? Can we speak to them or treat them the way we deal with our managers? And who are our managers? People that we do service with. We get our salary and go home. They have their married life and we have ours. But why we are abusive to the source of love in our life? We neglect the source of love in our life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying here, وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. The ayat in so many. In one, وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. O Lord, please forgive them and have mercy on them because they raised me while I was young. Because they raised me when I was young. Out of this surah, what we can conclude? Conclude that the responsibility that I have spoken about here, about your parents, it should not end by their death. My liability to anybody else end by his death. But my responsibility to my parents end by my death. As long as I'm saying Rabbi Rahmuma kama rabbayani saghira, that means as long as I am alive, I supposed to be seeking forgiveness and acting on their behalf and doing the good deed that it can be for their credit, sadaqah, hajj, siyam, whatever that is, that I can do in their behalf, whatever I can do in their behalf, even if they are in their grave, I should be doing it. So let us agree to this. My responsibility to others end by their death. But my responsibility to my parents only end by my death. See the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And see here why all of that emphasis on how to be kind to them. We have the tendency by our nature is to look for interest and to look for what, subhanAllah. See how you love and you like your child. You've been exactly loved the same way. See how you feel about them. That's exactly that your parents felt about you. How you care about them and they care about you. Even if you are old and gray hair, but maybe your mother is still worried about did he have a dinner or not. Maybe you are a grandfather, but that's what she has in her heart. And she is willing to give you more and to give you more. And we know that when it comes down to the parenthood, the other thing that I would like to share with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it the priority to who? To the mother. There are so many hadiths talking about the emphasis and the importance and the reward that the mother get because of what they are doing to raise, especially if they are good, to raise their children and to have them to be a good human being. So your obligation to your parents, some say they've been kind to me, I will be kind to them. No, that will never happen. Please don't look at this way. You will never be able to pay them only for changing you one time. Even if you go and change them. Because if they change you, they give you the smile by seeing you happy. The only thing they wanted out of life is to see you smiling. Is that what you do to your parents when you do what you do? Is it your motive? Is to really see them smiling and happy? It is your obligation before any given day when you go to sleep to make sure that they've been taken care of. It comes to the point in fiqh. In fiqh. In some certain type of jihad, you cannot go without their permission. And if they tell you no, it is no. If they say no, it is no. You don't. And you be kind to them as much as you can. So it is not only the physical aspects of it. It is not only the just to make sure that the bill is taken care of, the food and whatever, but emotionally also, spiritually also, and entertain also. How many times a sleeping father and a sleeping mother wake up in the middle of the night and sit down with the child just because the child doesn't want to go to sleep. Just want to play. Do they spank him? Do they put him in the bed? Twist their arm? Shut him? And maybe they're going to have to wake up for the Fajr prayer. Or to go to work or whatever. But they keep entertaining. That type of rahmah, we have to learn. to extend it in the two ways, not only to the front, but also to the back. And the best way to make sure that you will be, in your old ages, you will be respected and taken care of by your children, is to do what? Is you yourself give the demonstration and the process now to teach your children how to respect the elders. You, this is a process. It is not a something that it is lifted like this or like the light you turn it on and off. This is what we need the Muslim home for, to develop all of those attitudes one day after the other. Taking care and respecting the elders. It is highly recommended when you have a disagreement with your spouse, you never discuss the affairs in front of the children. Also, you never discuss the affair of your parents or your spouse's parents, or talk to them about any sensitive issues in front of the children. Why? Because all you want from the children to the grand all the time is what? Admiration and love and respect. It is not for everything they give, we give them back a rude attitude and neglect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are things that, like I said, it is recommended to do. But in this, it is mandatory to do. That means if you don't do it, it is act of disobedience. If you don't take care of your parents, it is an act of disobedience. Look at it this way. No one, by his own logic or conscience, want to do a wrongdoing. But when we do wrongdoing, we all know that there is excuse for that. And that excuse, it might be right and it might be wrong. The people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed, they say, قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We pay, we obey. I mean, we hear, we obey. Somebody can come and say, they favor my young brother or the older brother or the older sister or whatever over me. Maybe that's true. But what is the command? The command is look after your parents. They are my parents, I take care of them as if I are the only child. Even if they have another children, they are older than you, and the old male or younger, no, it is your responsibility. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so decreed. You have to have that motive. And you have to have that type of akhlaq. I'm going to tell you something. You may agree with me, and you may disagree with me. It's up to you. But as a person, if I have a choice between communicating between one human being have a very bad contagious disease and somebody in a state of disobedience to his parents, without thinking, I will take the first choice. Contagious disease or a person in a state of disobedience to his parents, with no question in my mind, I will take the first one. Because I don't know when Allah's anger will reveal over the other one. And who will negate when the anger revealed. That can show you how bad that situation is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warning us severely against neglecting them or be abusive to them or not to look after them. I need to talk about why the people disobey their parents. First of all, in the beginning in your life, all your sense of security and all your provisions, you feel it is in your father and mother, and that's what you ask. But once you started to grow up and you started to walk, the priority started to change. The first priority it dropped is the importance of the mother. And this is why you see the attention will be paid for what? For the mother. Why? Because the father is the protector. And even if you want something, when you go to your mother, she's going to say what? Go to your father. He is the breadwinner. So automatically will be what? The importance to the father. We grow a little bit more. Our need to our parents is less. Now you can run. Now you can earn your living. Not you can make it. Right? So your priority will be completely different and they will drop on the back. Why? Because they are not so beneficial to me after all. I can make my cook, I can make my food, I can do this, I can get married. You have your own life now. But you forgot completely who shelter you till you get to where you are. And you ignore that completely. So why we are in a state of disobedience to our parents? Sometimes, if we do not teach our children from the earlyhood that the disobedience to Allah will lead to the disobedience of the university, including your parents. If you are yourself in a state of disobedience to Allah, don't expect your children to be in a state of obedience to you. It's this easy as this. If you the best guarantee that your children will be obedient to you is when you are obedient to Allah. And listen to the nature of the relationship between Sayyidina Luqman and his son. And that's a complete other issue, but I will highly recommend it that you go and read Surah Luqman and give yourself a time and to understand what's going on down there. When you raise the children to be number one and you give them all the love and the care, and they end up no sense of responsibility of respect to other, and you do not teach them how to respect you, they will learn how to talk back to you. Especially when they grow up, they will learn how to be abusive, because from the beginning you allowed them and you did not stop them or direct them to respect you from the first day. You raise your children not according to the Quran and Sunnah and the fear of Allah, but you raise your children according to the cultures and habits and traditions. And when you raise them according to culture and habit and traditions, and like our community, the Muslim community, most of us, more than 90% foreigners, and we are living in a complete different culture, and we are expecting these children to be some kind of a superhuman being, adjusting 5 minutes between cultures, and adjusting 5 minutes between in different traditions and habits, one outdoors and one indoors, what do you think we're going to end up with? You're going to end up with a state of disobedience and rebellion. That's going to happen. Also, discrimination in the treatment. When you discriminate in your heart, when you discriminate in your heart between your children, you have a certain treatment to the girls and a certain treatment to the boys. Who said that? Who said that? Why boys should come 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or whatever and girls not? Why they have a certain privileges that the girls don't? What is the basis, the religious basis for that? Okay, I'm going to make the long story very, very short. When we look to the whole entire Sharia, it is classified to three main areas. One area, it talks only to the human being. And in this area, has no male and has no female. There is nothing in there. Only human being. Like what? The right to believe, right to live, right for education, right for existing, right for earning living. It's granted for all. Right to believe or not to believe. It's all granted for a human being, agenda male and female. The second set of legislation, it is dealing with the nature, not giving favor to one over the other, certain legislation or certain exemptions for women when they have the monthly period, like in fasting, like in the prayer, like in others, nifas, giving birth, and so on and so forth. That does not give priority to one over the other. And the third set of legislation dealing with what it can call special cases, masail. So that's the whole entire fiqh. If you look at the whole entire fiqh, then you will never find out anywhere that it gives a priority to one over the other. And some they misinterpret what's going on in Surah An-Nisa when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَلَلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجًا الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ, that mean what? They are mandatory, have to look after their affairs. Okay, now you go to the marriage union, it says, you 50%, I'm 50%, you don't work, you don't eat, you don't pay the rent, you don't do, no. In Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ, that mean you look after their interest. وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةٌ, this daraja is what? Management, not superiority. That means somebody has to have the final decision after consulting. That's all into it. That is all into it. But that does not give a priority or a superiority to one over the other. So we need to understand how things take place, and we really need to understand that it is part of the Muslim ethics that is to be more than a kind, seeking and investing by the meaning of the word investing, after the word of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, investing in your parents' love. You have to make sure that they are happy with you. You're going to say they are dead. Like I said, you are not. You can, before you sleep, make dua for them. They will be happy with you, because their soul is not dead. And whatever you do to them, it goes to them in their grave and says, your son did that to you, or your daughter did that to you. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering, and to make us among the obedient ones that they adhere to the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply it in our life. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. Wa shahadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa shahadu anna Sayyidina Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق الجهاد حتى أتاه الله اليقين. It is not only that you are, it is mandatory requirement, and it is not only, it is a sin. It is sin that you don't neglect them or you be abusive to them, but also you cannot favor anyone in a treatment over them, or give them a priority over them. They are a priority. And there are so many hadiths about that. But I would share with you other or hadith, regardless the authentication level. It was a man by the name Alqama. And Alqama being known as a man, he is mujahid, and instead of fasting most of his days, and he is zakirullah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he's at night. And one day, his wife came running to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, Ya Rasulullah, Alqama is dying, and every time I whisper shahada in his ears, he wanna talk, but he wouldn't be able to say it. Brother and sister, these are the moment that you supposed to revolve all your life around. The minute you are leaving, think about the state that you're going to be in it. Please don't think Hollywood style that you're going to be on your bed and able to talk and able to speak and say goodbye. It's going to come a time that you want to speak and you can't. You can't. The only thing that it can help you is Ya Allah. Build it now. So said every time I try to give him a shahada, he's trying to say it, but he wouldn't say it, wouldn't come out. So Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her, is his mother alive? She said, yes. He said, where is she? She said, on the other side of the town. He said, some of the Sahaba to go and to her and say the following and see the attitude of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Rasulullah yaqra'uk as-salam. That means Allah, Sayyidina Muhammad saying as-salamu alaykum. He needs to talk to you. If you can come to him, come. If you can't, Sayyidina Muhammad will come to you. You see the respect here. You see the respect. And it is, she is not his mother. But he is respecting the mother. If you cannot come, I will come to you. And the mother should know, I am able to come and I'm coming. And she came with the Sahaba. And she sat down with Sayyidina Muhammad, and Sayyidina Muhammad, before tell her anything, he said, مَا حَلُوا عَلْقَامَ. How you feel about Alqama? She said, Ya Rasulullah, you all know Alqama. You all know him. Mujahidun billayl, bin nahari abidun billayl. He is in a state of jihad in the morning and fast. And he is submitting to Allah at night. He said, I am asking you again, and B, tell me the truth. Are you happy with Alqama? She said, Ya Rasulullah, I am not. Ya Rasulullah, I am not. Was Alqama give her food? Yes. Was Alqama looking and sending once in a while and go and visit? Yes. Was he doing a lot of obligation? Yes. But listen. Listen to the complaint. Why you are not satisfied with Alqama? He favored his wife over me. He favored his wife over me. You see now where we as a human being going? Ungrateful to what our parents do with, and looking where is our interest is with the wife and with the children, and we ignore completely our back and what was on our back and how we got to the point that we are in. She said, he favored his wife over me. So Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to his Sahaba, kind of reverse psychology, go and collect wood and go to his home and burn him. Burn him and his home. Nothing Alqama did in his life is acceptable. Nothing Alqama did in his life acceptable. Ya Allah. The mother heart wouldn't take it. The Sahaba started to move. That's an order from Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. The Sahaba started to move. They started to go. The mother said, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah. Ushhidu Allah anni qad ghafartu al-alqama. When she found, with all of that, she wouldn't tolerate or accept that any pain or anything happened to her. You see the mother heart? You've been felt about the same way. You've been cared about the same way. And she said, I forgive him. And my heart is not only that, is pleased with him. I am pleased with him because now she knows that he is dying. Now she was told that he is dying. In the beginning, he didn't tell her that.
So one of the Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looked at the wife and he looked at the, one of the Sahaba, and they say, you know, the Sahaba and them go to Al-Qabr. When they approached the home and they tried to open the door and not reaching Al-Qamah, they found him automatically saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and he died. The most important investment in your life, there is nothing it can second it or can replace it, is قَدَ رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Invest in your parents' satisfaction, not your children's satisfaction, not in your spouse's satisfaction. There is going to be down the road, inshallah, in this series, how to deal with those and what are their rights and what are their obligations, and when to be strict and when to not to be strict, and all of that. But the most important things, I want to finish the khutbah by telling this. Never ever spoil your child. And never ever leave a chance to spoil your parents and don't take it. You see the difference? Never spoil your child. But if there is any chance to spoil your parents, take it. Take it. If it is out of a blue sky, you go and give your mother or you give your father a hug, do it. If there is by out of blue sky, you say, Subhanallah, they are not alive, and you make you ask for forgiveness, do it. وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Oh Lord, have mercy on them, they raised me while I am infant. Helpless. Do it. And it is all investment. And what is the biggest part of the investment is not the gratitude and the good treatment, but what's developed inside you, the rahmah, the ability to appreciate Allah giving, appreciate of your parents giving in your life. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering and forgive all our sins, all our mistakes, and all our shortcomings. And give us the hidayah, and give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and apply him in our life so we can live in peace and die in peace, and inshallah in the hereafter we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibadallah, qulu la ilaha illa Allah tuflihu. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة